For the rest of us, would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7? We're going to read verses 1 through 16. I want to talk to you this morning, this first Sunday of the new year, on the topic of the danger of patronizing God. The danger of patronizing God. The world we are living in, and what has happened to church culture in this nation is very alarming, and we're going to address that today. Beginning to read in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 7. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with the tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for stirring this word up in my heart recently. And I just pray in Jesus' name that as we look to this coming year, that, Lord, we will hear what your Spirit is saying to us this morning, that we will receive the correction that you bring through your word by the power of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will put a watch on my mouth, that I will only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Matthew 6 and verse 11, which is there's a phrase that comes from the prayer that Jesus gave us. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread," from the Lord's Prayer. Well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem a name that means house of bread. And that apparently is very fitting for the gift of eternal life and steadfast love to be delivered to us. To bring the gift at the right time, God found willing servants throughout the generations. As recorded in 2 Samuel, King David received assurance of steadfast love and faithfulness from God. We see that as we read the final verse that I read our text from in verse 16. David, it's his lineage that Jesus come through. It's his lineage. Jesus is a descendant of David's lineage. Alright? So, him coming through Bethlehem, the house of bread, I sure can't call that an accident, can you?
No.
God has a purpose in everything he does. Now, when we look at what the topic of this message is about, we see, secondly, that patronizing God builds up one and tears down the other. Or if you're patronizing people, you're building yourself up, or building that person up and tear down another. People make a big show of giving major gifts to charities, especially at this time of the year. Not just people, but companies make a big show out of giving major gifts at this time of the year. Now, I'm not saying that, obviously, because there's something wrong with giving big gifts, because there's not. But where the problem is what the motivation is that is behind it. I want you to understand something. Me sharing what I shared today about what we as a church were able to do in helping the ministry in Cambodia to be able to get over that major hurdle so that that ministry could keep going, I didn't stand here and say that in some prideful way, because it don't come from pride. It's a blessing to be used by God. God has led us. He has anointed us. He has appointed us. And when he does that, he also provides the provision. So God provided the provision ahead of time for us to be able to help out. So it's not a prideful thing. It's a thing about obeying God. And there's no pride in that, right? But the problem is when there's a wrong attitude and there is pride when people or companies make a big show out of giving at this time of the year into different charities. Some people who have made no attempt to live godly all year long show up at church at Christmas time and feel that they have done God a favor. We in no way ever do God a favor by whatever we do. Nothing we do in our own strength bears any fruit. It comes down to obeying him, hearing from him, and obeying him. Now maybe you're getting an idea why God led me to the scripture that he did. David wanted to build a temple. But that wasn't God's will. It was not his will. Now there's a lot of speculation about why that is, and there's other places in scripture that talk about it. One major reason why God didn't select David to build the temple is because his hands were trained for war. David was a warrior. A godly man, albeit, but he was a warrior, and God used him greatly as a warrior and as a king. But God did not have it in his plans for David to build the temple. And that's why we read that scripture. There's a possibility that David also besides his hands being trained for war, what if he was trying to do something for good old God? What if that's the case? I'm not saying it was, but what if that was the case and God was like, oh no, I'm not having this because you're trying to patronize me. Does that resonate with any of you? I mean, I think that's a possibility. And so God's like, nope, I'm not having that. Just like God knows when we're patronizing him through flamboyant giving with wrong motives, through going to church on Christmas and Easter, and all year long, no fear of God whatsoever. That's trying to patronize God. Now, guess what? It's never bad to go to church. It's good to go to church. Everybody should go to church, listen to what's being preached, and try to live it. Amen? So that's all good. We're not saying that's not good. What we're saying is it's all about the attitude. Because it comes down to trying to patronize God when we operate in that way. These messages are hard to preach. It's awful quiet in here. So it's a good thing to give to charities. It's a good thing to attend church at Christmas time. But we need to be careful about our attitude in those things. Why? Because God sees and looks at our hearts. God knows every one of our hearts. He knows our motivation. So while in David's case, in his mind, it'd be a good thing to build a place for God to dwell. But God was like, no, that's not for you to do. That's just not for you to do. The problem with patronizing God is not that it makes him feel small. Are we clear on that? It's not that it makes him feel small. God don't ever feel small. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our all in all. And nothing will ever make him small. But it's that it makes us feel bigger than that we are. Doesn't make God feel small. Makes us feel bigger than we are. You see, patronizing someone, and especially patronizing God, comes from a heart where pride resides. It comes from a heart of pride. That is a major problem. Pride goes before the fall. If you don't believe me, just ask Satan. It didn't go well for him and a third of the angels in heaven when they decided they'd do it their own way instead of God's way. Satan looked at himself and said, you know, I'm pretty good looking. I think I should have the praise. Wrong. Things got ugly quick, including Satan. No beautiful thing anymore. So it makes us feel big when we are patronizing. Too big to acknowledge our dependence on him. This year, let's acknowledge our dependence on God. You know, on the 4th of July, we celebrate our independence as a nation. And I thank God for that. Okay? That's great. But God help us if we ever think that we can operate and be godly outside the realm of dependence on God. God help us. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, and I'm talking about people in churches today, there's no preaching on lordship anymore. And see, if he's not Lord and Savior, he's not Savior either. He must be Lord and Savior. If he's Lord, then he is directing our lives, and we're not anymore. So this year, let's allow him to be Lord of our lives, as well as our Savior. God never intended for Jesus to pay the price for sin and do all that he did to deliver us, to just be a wet blanket to protect us from the flames. That's not it. He did it to be Lord and Savior, to direct our lives. See, his plans are perfect for each and every one of us. He's got plans for us. Plans to give us hope and a future. It tells us that in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. To give us hope and a future. Not to harm us. But yet, because of the sin of our own hearts, we tend to want to get off the path that God has for us, and we want to do it our own way. That is in us from the time that we are born, guys. If you don't believe it, how many of you here have raised children and you're trying to help them do something because they're going to mess it up, and they get mad and say, "No, I do it." This year, as we walk out our faith in God, let's lose that attitude of, "No, I do it." Let's let him be Lord of our hearts, Lord of our lives. Let's stop directing our own lives. Let's stop patronizing God by looking for things to do for him and just listen to him and do things with him. We may be too big to live in obedience to God. See, when we patronize God and in our own mind we make God smaller, he's not, but we make him smaller in our own minds, and then we puff ourselves up, then we don't feel as obligated to be obedient to God because we think we got this. And we don't. See, God's got a major advantage on each one of us. See, he always has been, he is right now, and he always will be. Now, I'm just here to tell you, somebody with that many years of experience knows a whole lot more than you and me do. We may be even so big that we get angry when we are told what God requires of us. Things that put us into a position with God that prevents God's saving grace from working in our lives. Remember the promises of God? There's this thing about the promises of God. There's this little conjunction word, two letters. If. The promises of God are all connected to if you, I will. Look it up. I've studied the word from cover to cover for 40 years. Look it up. I've went through the whole word. And the promises, God says, if you, I will. You don't just automatically get the promises of God by living according to your own standards instead of striving to live according to God's standards and thereby obey him. Then do the promises of God chase you down the street. But you got to get the if you down. And then you get the I will. That's the way it is, guys. I'm telling you the truth. See, you're going into this new year with some new challenges. Maybe some new revelation. I hope so. Maybe this is what happened in the life of King David. God said he would not be allowed to build the temple. David, a one-time shepherd boy, had become a mighty king. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going from being a shepherd boy out watching, tending flocks, and going from that to being a powerful king? Do you think there's a possibility that pride can slip in? Yeah. Yeah. Probably why he wasn't where he was supposed to be and ended up on the roof, had a plan to see, I think he had seen Bathsheba before, and he's up on the roof waiting for Bathsheba to come up and take a bath. I think he had her scoped out before. I think he was up there waiting. See, it was the time of year that he was supposed to be out in battle. He was supposed to be out in war. See, he was out of position. He wasn't obeying God. He was not where he was supposed to be, and it led to his fall. Now, thank God, David, he's an apple of God's eye because David is repentant. When Nathan came to David and shared that little story with him about a lamb that was cared for and taken into the house, and that whole deal, I know I'm going fast, so this is a Wayneism, okay? But those of you who know a little bit about the word know what I'm talking about. And Nathan said, "You are that man." And David was convicted, and he repented. See, David had a repentant heart, and he didn't go do that again. There's the difference. There's the difference. David was not a perfect man, neither are we. But he was repentant. As we go into this new year, let's practice repentance. And that doesn't mean just I'm sorry. It means I am sorry, Lord, and I choose with your help to go a different direction. To flee from that thing in my life. Because I want to obey you. I want to live for you. Because you paid for my life with yours. David had been made king by the grace of God. Most of the time, he remembered that because old Samuel wouldn't let him forget it. Samuel, man, that dude, you didn't want to mess with him. He'd hold your toes to the fire. And he did. Did you know we all need people like that? We all need people that love us but are not impressed with us. Not so impressed that they won't call us to account, hold our toes to the fire, when we need to be straightened out a little bit. We need people in our lives like that. And we need to humble ourselves like David did when Nathan said, "You are the man. You are that man." We need to humble ourselves like he did and repent and flee from that kind of sin in our lives, whatever it is. And not say, "Well, let's see, what can I do for God?" Patronizing. When it comes right down to it, God don't want us to do anything for him. Good old God. He wants us to just walk with him, obey him, and live out our life under his direction. And guess what? It's better that way. I can attest, it's better that way. Not that I don't still blow it sometimes, because I am human and I blow it sometimes. So this preacher don't tell on himself too. Okay? But I'm getting better. I'm better now than I was 40 years ago when I got saved. David wanted to build a temple for good old God. God's response to David was, "Did I ask you to build me a house?" I love God the way He is. He speaks to me like that sometimes. You know, similar to that. I'm not saying the exact word. Does He speak to you like that sometimes too? I mean, all of a sudden you hear that whisper. Did I direct you to do that?
No.
Did you ask me before you did that?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? David was sensitive to God's rebuke and repented. Are we sensitive to God's rebuke? Or do we just try to patronize Him and smooth over our failures? See, God wants us to confess our failures to Him. He does. Why? Because He loves us and He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. And the only thing that will stop all of that from happening in our lives is ourself. See, God has given us all a free will. Every one of us. And He will not violate that free will. If we want to wallow in the muck and mire in this world through disobedience to Him, He'll let us. But when we turn as He woos us back to Him, He is right there with open arms to take us back. Just like the Father in the parable of the two sons. The prodigal son. I call it the parable of the two sons because both of them were messed up.
Yeah.
I've preached that a couple times over the years. Yeah, both of them were messed up. He had a one stayed, but he had an attitude. Anybody here ever cop an attitude? See, that's my biggest thing. Anymore these days, I'm not going to go out and do drugs like I used to. I'm not going to go out and get hammered. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to go out and mess around with my wife. I'm not going to do that. It's not going to happen. The devil can't use that on me because I'm totally over it. It's not going to happen. But guess what? I can cop an attitude like this. Anybody else like that? That's my biggest struggle, is getting an attitude. The devil sets me up and this happens and that happens and the buttons get pushed in the right sequence and I can find myself with a really bad attitude all of a sudden. And I'm ashamed of it. After been walking with God for 40 years, I would think I wouldn't be susceptible to that anymore. But I am. And I'm trying to get over it. How about you? Final major point. See, I planned to get out of here today about 15 minutes earlier than we normally do, because it's a holiday. Amen? And you need to spend time with God. You also need to have some time with your family. In the holiday. The best remedy for patronizing God is to see the big picture. Remember who loved you before you were even able to receive it or acknowledge it. God's word tells us that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He died in our place. While we were sinners, He didn't say, well, you clean yourself up and come back, and then I'll receive you. No, He died for our sins while we were yet sinners. John 3, verse 16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17 goes on to say, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He came to save the world. Elsewhere in Scripture, it makes it abundantly clear that if we are not in Christ, we stand condemned already. So it's not that condemnation doesn't exist. It's that Jesus came to deliver us from that condemnation. And Romans 8 and verse 1, it makes it abundantly clear. It says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there it is. This year, let's purpose ourselves this year to be more assertive about sharing this message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing hope in Christ, salvation in Him alone with anyone who will listen. Guys, time is running out. Look at the seasons that we are in. And I'm not talking about winter right now. I'm talking about the seasons Jesus was talking about when He said, you will know by the seasons. I'm looking at the seasons and I'm telling you, time is rapidly running out. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Prophecy that speaks of the last days are being fulfilled rapidly. There's an urgency in my heart as I share this message with you, and I exhort you to this year be more purposeful about praying for people, praying with people, and talking to people about Jesus, the only hope for the world. Amen. Because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. That's why we give gifts. Because that gift did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. This change that comes through the revelation of God's love will lead you into a new relationship with God, in which He will do wonderful things in and through your life. This year, let's purpose to be conduits and carry the love of God to the people in our circles of influence. If all of us would go out into the world, into our circles of influence, and do this, we don't need to be out pounding on doors. We don't have to go out and pound on doors, because all those people will be reached with the gospel. If everybody goes out purposefully into their circles of influence and shares the love of God with people. Yes, some people are going to get mean when they reject you. But Jesus said, remember, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And it's worth the risk. Even if there is one person out of 100 that you reach out to, one comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and is born again, it's worth it. Are we on the same page today? This first day of this new year, this first Sabbath day of the new year. Yeah, I know some people are arguing, no, Saturday is Sabbath, whatever. I'm not going there. This is our Sabbath, amen? We're supposed to set a day apart. Well, this is it. I think the kids got some little shofars down there or something. What do you think? They're getting fired up for the new year, too. Did you get it, guys? Are you challenged?
Yes.
I'm challenged. I'm going forward into this year with a fresh fervor. Please pray for me. I have not been given the word for this year yet. Pray for me that if God's going to do that, that it will come in His time. And He has for the last many years. I've gotten a prophetic word for the year. And for those of you who have been around here for a while, God has clearly brought pretty accurate words every year. As the year played out, it's worked that way in most cases. So please, seriously, I mean that. Pray for me that if He's going to give me a word, that I get it and I get it right so that I can bring it to you. Amen. All right? Let's all stand together. What I am going to do in our closing today is I am going to read what's called the Believer's Prayer from the fourth chapter of Acts. And then I will follow that up with some prayer and then we will be dismissed. Sovereign Lord, You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Your servant, our father, David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed. They did what Your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable Your servants to speak Your word with great boldness. Stretch out Your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus. Lord, we echo this prayer. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for leaders in this nation. We pray for everyone that has an evil heart, that what they are doing flies in the face of all that is wrong, Lord, in Your face. And we pray, Lord, that You will right the ship, if I can use that verbiage. Lord, right the ship this year. Hear the prayers of Your remnant in this nation that are crying out to You. Crying out to You today. And as we cry out, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that they reach Your bowls of incense and they're before Your throne constantly, day and night. And that, Lord, the prayers of Your people will move Your hand and You will move to redeem this nation from the place we've gotten ourselves in. Lord, we pray that You will bring people to repentance. Lord, we acknowledge that evil leadership is birthed out of from the people that are evil in the nation. And so, Lord, we repent for our part in it. And we pray that You would heal our land as we repent. As prayers are raised to You, that, Lord, You will move mightily and bring glory to Yourself. And Lord, make this nation once again a light on a hill. That Lord, we would send forth once again missionaries that are anointed and powerful and not be the nation that needs to receive them like we are right now from other nations. Lord, our prayer is have Your way in our lives, have Your way in this nation, and we look forward with anticipation to what You will do in this new year of 2023. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Have a great new year.